The prevalence of social media, immediate connectivity, and the rise of, quote, fake news, unquote, have changed our entire communication landscape. Hello, and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. On the show, I interview peak performing world changers in the creative, social impact, and earth conservation spaces. If you like what you hear on this episode, you're going to want to check out the bonus mini episode you can access if you become a member of My Coffee Club. If you do, you'll get access to bonus episodes, new art, new writing, and other fun benefits at buymeacoffee.com/IsoldeT. See the show notes for more details. And now, let's get on with the show. Hello, and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. Super excited you're here. I am making some changes, and they're going to be exciting, I think. So if you've been listening regularly, you know that on Thursdays, I have been creating the actual audiobook. I've been reading for you the book Speak From Within that I wrote that is all about how to overcome public speaking phobias and how to engage, inspire, and motivate your audience. And in case you don't know, I used to have a phobia about public speaking, and you can probably tell I'm over it. And I wrote the book about how I did that, really, about how I transformed myself from being someone who was terrified to stand in front of people and speak to someone who is out here all the time doing it and loving every second. So the reason I'm talking about that today is in a little bit I'm going to read the chapter. However, I wanted to also tell you that something new is coming. One of the things that's been happening is I'm doing a year-long creativity project where I'm doing an art piece, a digital art piece, every single day for a year. And one of the things that's happened here is that I wanted to try and do it from a sort of a beginner's mind because I don't have any real formal training in it. I just wanted to see what it would be like to create something artistic that had nothing to do with what I already do. It's to spark my ingenuity, spark my innovative drive. First thing in the morning, I open my eyes, I reach for my phone or my iPad, and I create digital art on an app. Why is this important? Well, it's important because I had not realized this would happen, but it turns out people are liking my art, and that means that they're buying it, and that means that that's a whole new avenue that I never thought to explore. Why am I talking about this is because some of the ways that my art is selling is through NFTs, and that's non-fungible tokens. And the reason I'm talking about that is because I decided that one of the things that's going to happen for me is that I'm going to explore NFTs further. I'm going to look at what it's like to mint an NFT. I'm going to look at what it means for the environment to mint an NFT and what are the best ways to do it responsibly, right? So that I'm leaving a small footprint. But also, one of the things to give you a little bit of value, I wanted to say that one of the things that's confused me and confused a lot of people I've talked to is, you know, it's the same as like a JPEG, right? Or a PNG file. What's the difference? Well, the difference is this. What seems to be happening now is that people are doing what they call utilities. What is a utility? I actually looked it up, and it is the state of being beneficial in some way, right? That's what a utility actually is. It's the state of being beneficial. Let me give you the dictionary definition. It's the state of being useful, profitable, or beneficial. So when someone says, oh, there's a utility attached to this NFT, I was confused, and I talked to other people who were confused about exactly what that meant. What on earth does it mean to have a utility? Well, it means that attached to the NFT that you create is some benefit that you as the owner of that NFT can reap from owning it, right? So it's not just I'm owning a digital art piece of Isolde's, for example. It's that for every, for example, I've been doing this Ukraine series. So the utility, or a utility, if you decided to buy one of the pieces of this NFT project, which is all about sort of the struggle of people in Ukraine right now and the animals and just incredible stories that I'm hearing that I'm trying to make art out of. If you were to buy one of those, one of the utilities would be that a certain percentage of every sale would go to help feed the homeless animals in Ukraine right now, right? So, or another utility might be that you get half off a ticket to see my next performance or some other thing, right? If you buy one of my huge NFTs, you might get a free tarot card reading. Whatever it is, from me, I mean, whatever it is, I add some benefit to you if you are the purchaser of this NFT, right? So that's the whole point of this. It's no longer just, oh, I created this thing and you want to own that piece of it on the blockchain. It's that these utilities, and that's the way the word is being used in this context, are being added to as bonuses as part of the NFTs that you have purchased. So it's really a fascinating new way of doing commerce because, yes, you might want the art and that might be cool, but the art might not be the actual thing that you're buying, right? You buy the art, you buy the NFT, you buy that little tiny piece on the blockchain that says you own that, but that's not the whole kit and caboodle. The whole kit and caboodle is that attached to that piece of art is that utility, that benefit from having purchased it. And by the way, it's not just art, right? So in recording the Artist's Way episode of last week, I went on this little rant that as part of my getting more productive, I deleted Fruit Ninja, the game Fruit Ninja, off my phone, which I've been using on the subway, right? And so Alan Fessenden went, you know, Isolde, that could be a great NFT. Just that little rant you just went on, that would be a great NFT. And that's something I didn't actually realize, that those kinds of things other people might be interested in, particularly people who used to play or who still do play Fruit Ninja, right? So you don't know what kind of thing is going to spark people's interests and sort of charge them up to look further. So if you're an artist and you're thinking of exploring the whole world of Web 3.0 and NFTs, that's a way of starting to look at it as, oh, what are people interested in? And what am I already doing that could spark people's interest further? And most importantly, it looks like to me, what are the utilities that I can build into this so that the people who are in my community are the people I'm going to serve, right? Those are the utilities you're giving are people who are probably in your community who are going to be buying your NFTs. And so that means to me that you are creating these benefits, these utilities to help them. I hope that makes sense. And this is going to be coming probably every Thursday after I'm done with Speak From Within. But I wanted to give you a heads up about it because I think it's a kind of a big deal for me, but I think it's going to be a world changer because now people who are supporting artists can get benefits in addition to the art by having supported those artists. There's a lot going on here. There's community, there's people who are helping each other, and there's a way of giving benefit, giving value to the people who are already supporting you or who want to support you in a way that's really innovative and really cool. Alrighty, so here we go. Finally, after all this time, here is Chapter 20 of Speak From Within. Chapter 20, Subjective and Objective Truth. If we are authentic with our audiences, we all win. No one is pulling the wool over anyone's eyes. Objectively, we all emerge victorious because we all know the truth. Here's the thing, though. The truth can vary. Weird, right? But it can. The truth splits into two or three strands. Think of the saying, there's your side, my side, and the truth. You could also define it as subjective and objective truth. To me, subjective truth is the truth as each individual person experiences it. That's the trouble with these philosophical discussions. We can say something is an objective truth, and we might all agree on that objective truth, and then someone comes along and says, nope, that's not how it is at all. You have all believed incorrectly all these years. Let's look at the idea of a flat Earth. For a long time, people just knew the Earth was flat. Until someone came along and said that what they had believed was an objective truth was subjective to them because they were working from a flawed sense of their own perspectives, their subjective truth. Then the new truth came into play. And are we now more certain that a round Earth is an objective truth? I'm sure, but some people still aren't. And then that causes issues in discussing the matter because every person's idea of truth differs at least a little. Let's look at the color of an oak leaf. You and I and a million other people can all agree that an oak leaf is green, right? Is that an objective truth? First, let's look at it from the perspective of someone who is red-green colorblind. They might be able to agree that an oak leaf is green, but their experience of that green will be entirely different from someone who is not colorblind. Plus, we must look at how each individual's eyes perceive the color. Can we know that we're each seeing the same color green? Even if we compare the leaf to a color chart, and we all choose the same swath of color as the green we see, are we all really seeing the same green at all? How do we tell? And what about the people whose eyes show them a slightly different shade of green? Are they objectively wrong? How do we decide? At that point, does the majority rule on the color of the leaf? And if that is the case, isn't that then just a bunch of people's subjective truth? Here's another example. Objectively, we know gravity works, right? But what would happen if it no longer did? For now, we know it keeps working. Does that make gravitational pull an objective truth? Or is it subjective because each being feels the pull of that gravity differently? Certainly, an elephant has a different perspective of the truth of gravity than does a bird or a butterfly. I don't disagree there is likely only one truth, but we all approach that one truth from myriad perspectives. Therefore, how can we ever know whose version of the truth is absolute? As soon as we bring thinking beings into any equation, we also bring perspective. That, by definition, makes everything subjective because we are all different. We all think and perceive differently through our senses, and that's why, even if we strongly disagree, we still need to respect differing opinions and other people's versions of the truth. I might not agree with you, but I owe it to you to respect what you say, even as we argue against each other's viewpoints. As I delve further into ideas on communication, perception, and perspective, I'm becoming increasingly aware that the way we communicate is evolving. Likely, a fair number of factors are driving these changes. I could offer that the prevalence of social media, immediate connectivity, and the rise of, quote, fake news, unquote, have changed our entire communication landscape. Although I'm not certain exactly what is responsible for this change, I see it happening. Even as I recognize this evolution, I maintain that as communicators, we are better served to respect others' opinions, thoughts, and ideas. When we present or speak in public, we must be conscious of these differing views and approaches to the truth. Certainly, we are responsible for getting our message across, but if while we're doing it, we trample on the beliefs or subjective truths of others, then we lose before we've begun. I'm not advocating that you water down your message, but I do want you to be aware and stay aware of the opposing views for several reasons. First, that awareness will help you be more empathetic and considerate of your audience. Second, you can let it inform your presentation. Finally, you can connect with people you understand better than those who remain a mystery. Think of it as reaching across the cosmic aisle. When we do that, we increase the connection and engagement of everyone in the space. And when we're trying to communicate with people, that makes all the difference in the world. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Speak From Within, being read to you by me. It's my book being read to you by me every Thursday until we finish. And the entire audiobook will then be available on my website, isoldat.com. If you're liking these episodes, if you're liking the podcast, if you're not liking the podcast, drop me a line, let me know. I'd love to hear what you're thinking. And also, if you want to join the Coffee by the Ocean Club, I would love to see you there because I'm going to have extras and little itty bitties. Actually, I already do have wonderful little bonus episodes with every single guest that's coming on from now on. We're going to have little bonus episodes of some of their recommendations and ideas for things we don't get to in the regular episodes. I'm Isolde Trachtenberg for the Innovative Mindset Podcast, reminding you to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Please subscribe to the podcast if you're new, and it would mean the world to me if you told a friend about it. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright 2022. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope. Until next time, remember to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind. Thank you.